Take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn in the Word of God to 1 Peter chapter 5. We are going to conclude our study of 1 Peter today. We're in chapter 5. We're going to be looking at the last verses, beginning at verse 12 and going down through verse 14. Peter writes, "By Silvanus, I briefly exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Jesus. Amen." Please be seated. As Peter draws this first letter to a close, he is bringing back together the purpose for which he has written this letter. He's reminding us, as the readers of his letter, that he has declared to us throughout the true grace of Almighty God. And he is reminding us that this true grace can be experienced and is experienced in the midst of suffering for the name of Christ. And what he calls upon us to do here at the very end is to recognize that grace and stand firmly in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about the true grace of God. So he says in verse 12, "By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider to him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand." What is grace? Let's remember what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor that is shown to those who deserve not only just nothing, but who deserve the opposite of that grace. The gospel itself, the Bible tells us, is the gospel of grace. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 says, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And so the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter realize that the gospel at its heart is the gospel of God's sovereign, electing, saving grace found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the good news. The good news that God receives sinners through His Son, that Christ has provided for us His holy righteousness, that He has done all that the law requires, all that God expects of us has been accomplished by Christ, done on our behalf by Him and for us, that Christ then took upon Himself all of our sin, and He went to the cross, and He bled, and He died in our behalf, taking our looks at us, he sees us through the lens of Christ, the crucified. Christ's righteousness imputed. He sees Christ shed blood that pays the penalty for our sin. And God cleanses us, that God sanctifies us by the work of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. That's part of the gospel of God's grace, that God does not just simply leave us as sinners, and that's the way He found us, but He is in the process of sanctifying us and remaking us into the image of His own Son, Jesus Christ. And that this work of God done through Christ is for the elect from all nations throughout all of history, that it's not just for our time, but it's for all time. And that this grace, as Peter is reminding us, is experienced both in good times as well as in bad times. You see, grace is in the midst of suffering. Throughout the letter, Peter has emphasized the fact that God's grace is in the midst of suffering. That lack of suffering is not the grace of God. "Do not think it strange," he wrote back in chapter 4, concerning the fiery strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings. Glory is revealed. You may also be glad with it. Has told us already that Christ's experience the same kinds of sufferings that Christ experienced. And when those evidence that God has abandoned us and turned His back on us, but it's evidence of God's great love for us. God is found in the midst of triumph. Help is there also. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful for. Christ suffered for us. He suffered the just one for the unjust ones to bring. We need to recognize that we all, if our Savior was treated, and that we that He might bring us to God. And in, that was chapter 3, verse 18. In chapter 4, He said, if you are in the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory is upon you. Chapter 1, that perishes, tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, from the very beginning, Peter tells us that there is a test coming, that is a fiery trial, that it involves suffering, and that this is not evidence of the abandonment of God, but it is evidence of the love. You suffer for Christ's name's sake. He used to curse and to blaspheme and to try to get revenge and to get back to those who persecute you, but rather you continue to trust in Christ and you are to continue to do good. He already wrote in chapter 4, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. You ought to always be ready to ask you to give a reason for within you. And always be ready to make sense. To the space is always that reason that is there in Christ, and we're to be ready for that. Or to be ready to give that reason to others. You're to also always keep a clear conscience. You always do good to those. As he said in 1 Peter 3:16, that when they are evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Yet if anyone suffers, be ashamed, he says in chapter 4, but let him glorify God in this matter. You're all Christ in the midst of your suffering. If you of Christ, bless rest upon you. Paul to the world which is a world of suffering, and we're called upon to suffer for the namesake of Christ. Suffering is not evidence that God has set us aside or abandoned us. Or God is, it's not evidence that God is unable to help us, but rather He is there in the midst. And when we do suffer, we cling close to Christ and we stand firmly. So the grace of God also is the basis. That He knows someone else denies you and forsakes you, I will not. I will stand with you. I will fight with you. I will die. Peter understands you. Grace of God that enables you to stand firm. As a believer in Christ, you have that grace at work in life at all times. That you endure you to do so. Remember, God resists the humble man. Submissive to one another. Undergo in this Christian life. This is the elect of God. She who is in verse 13 greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Found within the church militant. That's the description of the church on that is at war with. As he says in Babylon, which is not the city of Babylon in Iraq, it's the city of Babylon in Peter's day. It's in this city of Rome, which was Babylon, that the empire of Jesus Christ. Our middle. Babylon was fired. The angel that cried out, "14" in Revelation chapter 16, in the cities of the nations. Become a dwelling unclean picture of the fall of Babylon, the picture of the fall of Rome and other the gospel even the getting at. Here, from the place where he is, where there are suffering saints, where there are the elect who are undergoing persecution and trial, to other suffering saints who are suffering together, who are the elect of God with you. Sent by a man by the name of Silvanus. Remember Paul and Silas, all those journeys? Paul addressed three of his letters in this way. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. 2 Corinthians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So it appears that Silvanus and Silvanus and Silas appear to be the same man. Who had been on missionary journey as well. Now, the point is that no matter from the face of the earth, there in the midst of those about geography. Is. She is in the midst of the empires. church militant. You are part of the time, and you are offering faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Other believers pray for you. Another. 3 Peter conveys from the church in Rome scattered apostles not tolerant Christians who are It's a go to a place you've never been before, and to go to a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to find there, in the company of that church, fellow believers in Christ who embrace you, who love you, who have suffered the same kinds of things that you suffer, and who are praying. Love is reflected by the greeting that happens in the midst of the hostile environment. Peter writes the kiss of love from the love that you and I share. It's a love of God received through Christ. Issues in genuine, true peace. Peace of God. Says, peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. To the truth of God is only for those, only those who are found in the Lord Christ. Peace to heart. Among those who are receive the grace can know the peace. Have received grace. The peace that people fight about, and it's a two-step peace. It is first of all peace with the blood of the Lord Jesus for justified by faith. Peace with God in our because of our sin. Only God can bring hostilities, and He offers through the grace of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You now have peace with God because God. With fellow this fellow believers. Men are not only at war with God, but men are at war with one another. It means that all efforts that men use about on earth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately will fail. Men will continue to hate one another. Men will continue to fight with one another. Men will continue to do all of these things. All try. Yes, it's difficult living with Christians that are sinners, but it's much more difficult living with unbelievers who are in rebellion against God and who are constantly at war with God. Peace between fellow Christians. And so, in the eyes of God, we are all because we are equally like the blood. So, Christian, you're not better than some other Christian. You're a Christian in the sense of your salvation. You are brought to the same cross. You are bought by the same. So that means you and I can rejoice. Rejoice, Christian. You may be suffering for the Christian faith, but you're not abandoned by God. You're not abandoned by Jesus Christ. You brotherhood who will suffer for their faith in Jesus Christ. If you're undergoing suffering right now, you're not alone. And you will never be alone in that. Together with other suffering, you continue to receive the grace of God to help enabled by the grace convert. Father, we thank you the grant to us. Father, we Amen.